Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
All right, and we're back around the table, and we are continuing our time looking at the women of the Bible. So we're going to continue through, and we're going to talk about Tamar today. So her story starts in Genesis 38.
You know, her story just kind of pops out of nowhere, but it's a, you know, really important story.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole, it looks almost out of place in Genesis, but when you look at the whole Bible, it makes more sense.
Well, again, it's God shining a light on a woman that he's chosen to be a part of Jesus's lineage,
mm-hmm.
you know, to help bring redemption of the world.
And I was looking back in Matthew when he actually goes through the lineage, you know, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. She's the only woman really mentioned at the beginning, you know, mm-hmm. it doesn't mention Sarah, it doesn't mention Rebecca, it doesn't mention Leah. It mentions Tamar, though, because it's, let's see, Judah, the father of Perez, and Zerah by Tamar.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets her 15 minutes of fame.
And again, that says so much that Matthew put women in there. You know, at all.
Uh-huh.
So Tamar's story is, you know, one of the ladies I was listening to in regards to, like, when telling the story, she's like, it's a little R-rated, you know, everything that kind of mm-hmm. goes on is not something that you typically would expect to read in the Bible, in the Word of God. You know, her life was not the epitome of, you know, what a woman, you know, how women should be treated, how you see your life going once you've been married, you know, especially when she's doing everything she was supposed to do. She didn't do anything wrong. And then she gets kind of, you know, she gets treated poorly.
Yeah. And she has to do some trickery.
Yeah. You know, so she's married to Judah's firstborn. So you have, that's Leah's, that's the fourth oldest of Jacob. So you have the line of Judah. So you already know, you know, if you kind of understand just the basics of, you know, where Jesus came from, you already know, like, that's, you know, it's that hail, hail, Lion of Judah, you know, you're coming mm-hmm. right down. That's kind of where we start to recognize where this path is leading,
yeah,
and how it leads to Jesus. So she's married to, you know, Onan, right?
Is, well, she's
right?
Married to
first. Yeah, you're right.
Ur was first, then Onan.
And he was just apparently nasty.
Not a good guy.
Not.
And to not be a good guy in this time that God's going to kill you.
Yeah.
That's a pretty strong statement, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So it makes you think, how did he treat her?
Right. Like, he was just evil, and God said, we're done. You're done. You've had your chances.
Yep.
So then, again, because of the Levitical law, she then marries the second born, because then it's his duty to provide an heir for
his brother.
But Onan knows that if he provides said heir for his brother's behalf, then his inheritance isn't going to be as big. Because with Ur out of the way, instead of him getting...
He gets...
Instead of... Because originally... So the way I had this... And I didn't know this, but this is how I saw it broken down. The firstborn would get half of the inheritance. And then it would go down and decreasing. So because there was three of them... So got half, then Onan would get a quarter, and then it's
Sheila.
Sheila would get a quarter. So
yeah.
Now with Ur out of the way, then Onan would get 2/3, and then Shelah would get, only get a third. So it was just, it got broken down that way. So if he provided that heir with Tamar, then that heir would end up getting the half, and then it would go back to the quarter and a quarter.
Mm-hmm. So he pretty much just used Tamar and then made sure she was to not get pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Like, did everything in his ability. Mm-hmm. And God was like, you're done.
Yeah. So God saw that he was being unfair.
Yeah.
To Tamar. And so God also took care of him.
Yeah. Which did not do her any favors, because now it's not her fault. Like, we have the ability to see that God was like, nope.
Yeah.
But Judah and his wife, who was a Canaanite, I think.
Yeah.
So she didn't have the same faith. And Judah, again, is just going to follow, because this is what the men of this line did, follow their wives. You know, he's not thinking, what are my sons doing? Mm-hmm. But he's like, oh, nope, she's cursed.
Yeah.
She's cursed. She's killing my kids. Or even if he could say, you know what? My sons are doing something that's causing it, like them. So he doesn't want to provide his third son because he's afraid of what he's going to do. And then he's going to be left with nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's why he tries to blame Tamar instead of saying anything about his kids being bad.
Yep.
Because, of course, it's not them.
Right.
Those are my boys.
Yeah.
Never, right?
Right.
And so Tamar gets, you know, told to go home. Mm-hmm. And I'll call you.
Yeah.
And that's like the ultimate insult, too, because he also has the opportunity within that Levitical law. He has the opportunity to redeem her. So he could have done this and set her free. You know, he could have provided the heir on his son's behalf. He didn't have to keep giving her his sons. Yeah. He could have just got it done. Not that. I know he was married, but he still could have got it done.
Yeah. No, you're right.
For the law. But yet, instead of that, he just says, nope, you're going to go back to your parents' house as a widower. A widow, and you're going to live your life out like that, which means she can't get remarried. She's stuck. She's got to be in constant mourning until Shelah grows up, you know, hopefully. And then he says he'll provide him to her, which, I mean, even she had to be like, sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and so then.
Well, and at this point, she's just feeling like so rejected by everything.
I mean, 'cause
she was obviously getting badly by both husbands, you know, both sons. And then, you know, dad just lies to her, says, go on home and I'll call you when. Like, how do you think that's going to make any woman feel, let alone
this
woman's supposed to be her son's betrothed, you know? And
so that's like the line of deceit. You're still seeing this deviousness coming through this line.
Mm-hmm. And he thinks he'll get away with it. He just, you know, can go on his merry way.
Mm-hmm. And then you have her, you know, at home. And then, you know, she hears that he's going to go. And isn't it that it's like they're shearing sheep, or are they harvesting?
Sheep shears.
Okay.
That's what my mom's Bible says. Okay. Sheep shears. Can you say that 3 times fast?
Nope. You know, so she knows. And so at this point, she, you know, again, this is years, right? So this is years, because now this son is of age and she hasn't been called. She hasn't been called up. She hasn't, you know, even been acknowledged. So she knows at this point, she has to take it into her own hands almost.
And she does.
And she does.
and not what you would think would be the good way.
No. You know, and so she becomes
She dresses up.
Yeah, she makes herself appear as a prostitute.
Uh-huh. And it's a cult prostitute.
Mm-hmm. Which there is a difference.
Yeah. So, like a cult prostitute was part of the religion in the Canaanite land. So they were, and I forgot what they were, what god they worked for.
I don't remember the god. I just know that they had multiple. It wasn't just prostituting that they did. They also were like being, they were always available. So it's like they were, could be the midwife. They could be the you know, the wet nurse.
Uh-huh.
So there was always multiple reasons of why people would call on them.
And they could also be used
mm-hmm.
for like, I want a good harvest, you mm-hmm. know, because it was the god of fertility.
Yep. So at this point, too, Judah is a widower. So in between, you know, him sending Tamar away and this sheep shearing situation, his wife has passed. So when she's doing this to go and deceive Judah, she's not dishonoring his household, so to speak. You know, so it's not like she's making a conscious decision, even though, again, she'd be absolutely in the right in the Levitical law to do what, or he would be a right to do what
uh-huh.
her. So I don't, like, there's just no other way to say that one. You know, but it's still, it's not like she's not devising a plan that's going to dishonor him as a husband at all.
Yeah.
And I found it interesting. So in Hosea 4, and it's going to take me a second. Hosea is not one that I go to very often.
It's towards the back.
Yeah. It's like, there it is. So Hosea 4:14, and like I said, one of the ladies I was listening to said this, and that it hit home for me. So again, so it's Hosea 4:14. It says, I will not punish your daughters when they act promiscuously. Promiscuously? I'm not saying that right.
Promiscuously.
Thank you. Or gotcha. Your daughters-in-law when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go off with prostitutes and make sacrifices with cult prostitutes. People without discernment are doomed. So God is recognizing the fact that if a woman is doing something like this, it started with the man first.
Mm-hmm.
So not that he's saying, yay, go Tamar.
Yeah.
But it's almost like he understands that she didn't have any other choice in any way to get justice in her time.
Yeah, what was the options? And there wasn't any. Yeah,
she didn't have any options, and she did the only thing that she could have done.
Yep.
You know, and she takes it for payment. She, you know, she takes his signet ring, his cord, and his staff, which is essentially his wallet. That was everything.
Yeah.
To prove who he was going to be. Like, so that way she knew what she was doing.
And if you bought something, they put their mm-hmm. signet on it. So, I mean, that was giving her power to pretty much do whatever she wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And it would go back to him.
Yep.
It's like someone's stealing your debit card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And he allowed it, so, you know, he must have been a little hard up.
Yeah. We know where his mind was.
Yeah.
I have one of the books I read, and it was cringy, but it said, just the way it was worded, you know, it says he's coming back from, you know, shearing those sheep, and, you know, he was probably tipsy and horny, and I was like... Does shearing sheep do it for some people? Like, how? Maybe I'm not picturing this quite right. You know, being around a bunch of men, like, wrestling some sheep. Or is this just something that has gotten lost in translation? This was a completely different thing that they were doing.
Or the you know, the party after all of the hard work. Like, yeah. You said, got him a little tipsy.
Yeah.
AKA drunk. And because, you know, drunken things seem to lead to having babies in the Old Testament.
That's very true.
So yeah. Yeah.
So Judah sleeps with Tamar unknowingly on who she was. She ends up pregnant. So then at that point, you know, the Levitical law is fulfilled, right? Like, they did their duty. But when Judah hears about it, his instant reaction is burner. We're not doing this. Like, she was unfaithful. She was terrible. So it's like he feels vindicated. Like, oh, see, it wasn't my sons. It was her. Look how terrible she was. I just sent her over there. I was going to call her up, I swear, you know, to marry my son. But now I don't have to because she's awful.
Yeah.
So we're going to burn her.
I was listening to Skip Hazek talk about Genesis 38 today, and he was saying, you know, how Judah's sin looked on Tamar is how he reacted. It was, you know, his same sin. He committed the same sin, but his reaction to Tamar, and he connected it to King David, when he had Bathsheba, you know, and he killed Bathsheba's husband just so he could lay with her, and how Nathan came to confront him, and he, you know, gave him the story and said, like, what do you think should be done to this man? And David's reaction was, he should be killed. And he says, well, that's you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and that's why, what does he say when she points out his signet and his cord? He goes, she is more righteous than I think is what it is.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Mine says she is more in the right than I, since I did not give her my son, Shelah.
Yep. So he admits his fault and says, okay, she's still part of the family.
Yep. And then it says, you know, he did not know her again. And again, that's because the Levitical law was fulfilled. So they wouldn't have again. But so Tim Keller puts it as, when she's bringing out the garments, like the bringing out these items, and, you know, she says, whose garments are these? It's the Akarna is the word that's used, which is the same word that Judah's brothers used when they brought Joseph's jacket. You know, and said, whose garment is this, Dad? So it's almost like it's a telling. It is. It's like, oh gosh, we said this to my dad, and now she's coming to me and saying this to me. You know, that had to have been a humbling moment. The moment itself is humbling for him, because then he realized that he was about to burn her for something that he did.
Yeah.
You know. So again, you know, you have just deceit just runs through this part of Genesis. It's how God's working through these moments, like this deceit.
Yeah.
Well, in that he's going to use these moments that are not necessarily designed of him or by him, but he's going to use these moments that are almost culturally seem to be the norm.
Yeah.
With just deceit everywhere, and obviously prostitution, and I mean all these different things are kind of the norm of the culture. And he says, so it's kind of like, you know, when we talk about, we're not supposed to be of this world, we're not, but it doesn't mean we're not supposed to use parts of this world to connect people to Jesus so they can know him. And it's not that you pick up the bad parts, I'm not saying that, but you know what I mean, like, right. it's saying, gosh, I need to figure out how to share with people who Jesus is. Just like I have in this day and age, because it's pre-Jesus, I have to figure out how to show who I am as God.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that is by making these, you know, like allowing these things to happen or helping these things to happen or, you know, whichever part of the story is. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, so it, because, you know, we talked about Leah being redempted through the sons and through now lineage of Jesus. And that's the same thing for her. So you show again, a broken woman who spoke up for herself. Like she might not have done it in the way that I would have done it or you guys might have done it, but she stood up for what she knew was owed to her through the law.
Yep.
And she got it. God blessed her.
Uh-huh.
You know, so again, she's listed in the lineage of the women that come, you know, through the line of Judah, through, and, you know, you get David, you get, you know, Jesus through that.
Mm-hmm.
In her circumstance, when she took it into her own hands, kind of turned out a little bit better than some of the other women we've looked at so far.
Yeah.
Again, she had to go through, Tamar had to go through some stuff, but when she took it into her own hands, God didn't, it was like blessed almost, because she was by the law, by the man-made law, she was right.
Well, she claimed what was rightfully hers.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a kid.
Yeah, she was owed that. Like, again, that's what women were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And they were taking that from her.
Yep.
Makes you wonder how that inheritance got split up, though. So how does that work? They didn't really talk about that. So I'm like, how does that work?
Yeah.
Some things will allow to be a mystery.
Yeah, that one, that's fine. That's fine.
Well, then it would just be her and Sheila.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap up Tamar. I know it's a story that's oddly placed, but it's still important because it shows God sees us. He sees the women. He sees how they're treated, and he treated these women were all redeemed through his line. And we'll continue when we talk about other women in this line. You know, with Ruth, with Rahab. You know, we'll, and then obviously we'll get to Mary. You know, so you'll see how God uses women who don't, you know, aren't always from the best backgrounds, aren't always from the best, or even in Ruth's circumstance, not even from the same religion, you know, and he uses that and he blesses it.
Amen.
So we will see you guys next time. Again, if you guys have any comments, any two cents that you guys want to let us know, just, you know, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, just go ahead, let us know, send us a message and post on it. And I mean, that's what we're here for, that, and we're here to share the gospel with you. We want to thank you all for listening to the Mustard Seed Podcast and for joining us on this journey that God laid on our hearts. I know it's hard to feel connected when we are on this side of the microphone, so we wanted to make sure that you knew that you could connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at the Mustard Seed Podcast. Our Facebook group is a community. We share funny memes, Bible verses, and just life. You can reach out however you feel comfortable. We want to build the community that we advocate for on this podcast, the Come As You Are. Our table will never be too crowded and cannot get too big. You belong here, and we want to connect with you.